And we simplified this down using the book's notation. This e to the a t is phi, okay? E to the a cap t is phi, so that's just a matrix exponential you got to do. And this a inverse, e to the a capital T minus the identity matrix, that times b is this thing we're calling gamma, okay? And this thing has the same form as the x dot equals ax plus bu, only it's x of k plus 1 equals phi x of k plus gamma u of k, okay? So it's very similar. And then the next thing we did was... Okay, where's my mouse? That. Sneak up there and push that button. Arguing with my computer, it's like... Arg. Okay, so we compared that equation with the regular state equation, the continuous one. And we looked at the continuous one. We're going to put an A to D converter in our case, we're going to put A to D converter on the states here, or basically we're assuming this C is going to be the identity matrix. We're actually, in general, we put the A to D converter there. And then we're going to do something with those states, basically the x of k, is to figure out what the next u of k going in is, right? U of k plus 1. That's what we need to figure out, because we got to feed that in the next time. At the same time we get the next x, we're going to give the next xk, uk, the next input. Okay, so this is the discrete solution to that equation up there, and it's also very similar to that block diagram right there. This is the x of k plus 1 is similar to the x dot. X of k is similar to the x of t. Y is similar to y, and u is similar to u. So this is, it's got its similarities to the thing up there. Now, up here, we place the poles by taking a little bit of each of the x's, right, and feeding them back to the input, okay? And we're kind of going to do the same thing what we're going to do is we're going to take this thing and we're going to use this thing to get the next x of k, which will give us a way to compute the next u of k, and so we're going to use this, and similarly to what we did up here, we took a linear combination of the x's, and that was the u. That was our thing that placed the poles, right? So we're going to use this thing right here to get the next x of k plus 1. We're going to take a linear combination of those x of k plus 1s. We're going to feed those back in to the u to stabilize our system with our discrete controller. So the discrete thing is a bit more complicated than the continuous thing, at least in the block diagram. Okay? So that's what we got to do. Let's look at the next picture here. We're looking at that one, so it must be that one. Okay, so here's our example. We started out with 1 over s squared, and we want to make it have a response like 1 over s squared plus 2 zeta omega sub n s plus omega sub n squared. We picked the omega sub n and the zeta. And then we did a little bit of looking to understand how in the world you actually might have picked those. That's depending on what you want for your response. You can actually go into Octave or MATLAB or Simulink or any of these kind of things, and you can plot the response, the impulse response or the unit step response of that. You can use the LSIM command and look at all those different responses and see which one you like. Or you can look at the cut along the J omega axis here and look at the frequency response if it's supposed to be a filter or something. That's more important maybe. So whatever it is, we decided we wanted this kind of a response. Omega n is 10 and zeta was 1 over root 2. Okay. And we also decided we were going to pick a sampling interval of 0.1 seconds. And that was enough so that it's about, the high cutoff frequency, 1 over 2t, is about three times the place where this, bump is going to occur here, right here, omega sub n. Omega sub n divided by 2 pi if you wanted a frequency, okay? So that was what we were doing down here. Now, I guess the next thing we want to look at is the last thing we did here. And here's our block diagram, kind of, right? First of all, we found what the poles corresponded to in the z-plane. We got our integrators here. That was our original system. We took this thing right here, the A to D converters off of this, and, this is supposed to give us the present x, but it's giving us the x at this time right here. Actually, we need to modify this right here because this is the x at time k that we're getting right here. And what we really need to put in the D to A converter is not u at time k, because u at time k is right now and we measured it, right? We need the next u, right? Because we got to put in the next u, not the one that's right now. We want the next one, right? So we actually need to modify this and put something in here that computes the next x, right? Does that make sense? So I want to draw that a little better because this is somewhat confusing here. So we have, we have the u goes into, oh, no, not, well, yeah, I guess it is an integrator, 1 over s, whatever, doesn't matter, I could write it either way, integrator, 1 over s, and I've got 1 over s, and then this is u coming in. Now, there's going to be a d to a here, and I really want u of k plus 1 t. That's what I want to put in right here. That's what goes in, and then what comes out over here are a to d here, a to d, and this is coming out here x of k, kt, or, what we were calling x of k, right here. I mean, that's x1 of k, and the other one's x2 of k. I guess I shouldn't make a... This is like... that's 1, and then we got the other one coming in here. This is a to d. And this coming out here, this is x... So which one do I want to call x1 and x2? I guess it depends on which way we want to do this. We could do it either way, right? And we want... This is kind of like y, and this is y dot right here, right? And this right here is y double dot. Well, what we're doing is, I don't know how to explain this too well, but what we're doing is we're measuring these guys right now, okay? And from that data, we're going to figure out what to stick in here, right? And that, what goes in here is now the next step, the next time, the next time I can get an A to D or a D to A. The A to Ds and D to As occur at the same time, okay, or I don't know, maybe it's better to think of actually you put this guy in, right, and you measure these guys right then, right? And then you compute what you're going to need to do for the next time, right? And then you put that out, and then you measure these real quick, right? You do the D to A, measure this almost instantly right thereafter, do your computations, figure out what the next U is you need to put in here to make this thing do what you want it to do, right? So this timing of the whole thing is really important. Does that make sense? And if you don't think about that, and in fact, in the continuous time, we don't have to think about that. We're doing this all continuously all the time. There is no time interval. It's just like, continuous flow, right? And if you don't get this right, it won't work. I mean, I can demonstrate that if you want. If you don't do it this way, if you just do it like this, if you do this guy and this guy, and you take the combination, the right combination here and here, and then you don't compute it for the next you and you put that in at the next you, it won't work. It's wrong. You know? You got to get you got to have the one that you put in here. You have to compute it from the last step. Okay? Does that make sense? You got to compute it from the last step. So I'm getting x of k here. I have to somehow turn that into x of k plus 1, and then I need to multiply the x of k plus 1s by these little things right here that I would have done in the continuous time, and then I sum those in, and that's the u at k plus 1. I mean... it's a little problematic, you know. I mean,
how do you factor that into the equation to make sure that the transfer function is stable given that delay?
Well, that's fortunately what we're doing with the Z transform and the way we're doing it. That's the way we're doing it. I mean. Well, there's a tiny little bit of delay between the time when you, like, put the next input in, right, and you measure it. See, what it's a stepped input, you know. You're putting in like this, and then you boom like this, so it just went up, right? It hasn't really had too much time to react to that unit step yet. But you now measure the thing right there and say, okay, this is the X. Does that make sense? Kind of, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, when does U of T pop up? You know, you measure it just a tiny bit after that, I guess, you know. I mean, if you do it before, then you don't get anything, right? Yeah. But this is actually a little tricky. You know, honestly, I went and I just kind of, without thinking about, you know, any of the timing of this thing, I just took this thing up in Psychos, which is like Simulink, and plugged it together, and man, it didn't work. So then I got to thinking about, well, what time am I actually trying to do this for, you know? And when you think about the details, then, you know, the devil's in the details, and I say, oh, yeah, okay, I can't quite do this. But you can do this. You can do this in simulation, and, you know, when you do you can simulate the continuous system, you know, and it works just great with a continuous system. You know, I actually tried that first because I thought, well, you know, I need to do both to see, you know, exactly what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. What did you say
you simulated in? The Psychos. I'll show it to you in a minute here. It's just like Simulink.
It's open communication.
Yeah, right.
Oh, cool.
And we'll have to get Andrew's, you played with Simulink a whole ton, right, which is really great. And maybe what I had to do is get you to come and present Simulink, you know, so that people can, you know, kind of look at both of them. I don't have Simulink because I'm using Linux, and, you know, but, you know, the school does buy Simulink. We do have copies of Simulink, and I'm going to put Simulink on the Pendulum computer upstairs. MATLAB and Simulink do run on Linux, you know, if you do have a license, and we do, you know, I think I can make the, you know, the license server work for that thing up there. But I don't have MATLAB and Simulink on my computer, so... maybe that would be a good thing to do here sometime soon.
Would it be able to interface with the Pendulum?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it does. Sure, right, yeah. And the thing that's really nice about all these Simulink or Psychos or whatever is that you don't have to do any code. On the other hand, I'm finding it's kind of like my arm is like this, you know, because there are some things that I want to do, and I haven't used, you know, Psychos as much as I've used MATLAB, and so, man, I could just quickly do this in the non-GUI, you know, in the whatever, just a program. Like, I want to do a matrix multiply. In fact, we'll show you. I need to do a matrix multiply here to figure out x of k plus 1, right? So what you're doing here is I need to take, this is like a matrix here. This is like, I don't know, I'm going to call this guy here. This guy, I'm going to say this is X1, and this guy is X2, okay? So this would be x2 here, x2, and this is x1 of k t, which equals x1 of k, the way we've been writing it like that. So I need to, this is like a vector here, right? And what I need to do is I need to go back to this little dude right here that we just looked at first, the first picture today. I just need to take, I need to take the x of k, that's x1 and x2, which is really a matrix there, right? It's a 2 by 1, right? I need to multiply it by this phi, which is a 2 by 2, right? And then I need to add it to gamma times the last u that I put in. So what I can do is I can take the u that I'm coming out and put it into a z, so that z to the minus 1, so that'll delay it, so I can get the last u from the, you know, that I just, you know, what I need to take the last u, whatever it is, I got to get the last u, and I need to multiply. So this is a matrix multiply, right? Which in the 2 by 2, I can do that with, you know, and actually, I mean, maybe I'll just do it here because I don't really have this as a matrix, you know. I've got to do this, if you look at it, what is it? It's, I'm using this phi times x plus gamma times u. This is x of k, right? U of k. And that equals x of k plus 1, right? So that says like this. This is going to be x1 of k plus 1, x2 of k plus 1, k plus 1 equals, this will be phi 1 1, phi 1 2, phi 2 1, phi 2 2 times x1 of k, x2 of k plus, this is getting long writing this, you know, this is gamma 1, gamma 2 of times u of k, right? So I can do that over here with this this thing. I haven't figured out how to do this in a nice matrix way very well in Psychos yet, but I haven't actually used Psychos very much, so I'm sure you can do it. There's a matrix multiply block and so on. I just haven't figured out how to make a constant matrix that I can multiply it back, because that phi is just a constant matrix right there. You can make it just use a gain block and say it's a n by n or something. Oh, it just automatically does that. Okay, well, so that's good. So, yeah. Right, yeah. Okay, so what we need is Andrew around here, because I haven't played with this. You know, I'm guessing it's the same way in Psychos. You know, it's got to be the same way. You know, I mean, like last night I was fiddling around with this thing. I couldn't make the thing stop when I wanted, you know. I'd get my thing and it'd go... And pretty soon, you know, it's my graph is, it's an oscilloscope thing, and it measures between some number and some number, right? And the thing was unstable, so it would go like this, and then boom, and it was off my chart, and it just keep marching along, the time would just keep going, and I finally hit stop, you know, and by that time it was way on down here, and I wanted to stop it back here. And finally I found this little end block he put in there, and it stops it at a certain place. But, you know, dumb little things like that. You know, it's just what you know and what you don't know. And so fortunately we've got Andrew here because he's played with this some more. And you guys, as you play with it, you'll find out the same kind of things. But, you know, for me it would be so much easier just to do this multiply in MATLAB. You know what I mean? This is like, I could just type that in, right? But anyway, so you can see what we need to do here. I mean, I could... What I was going to do, if Andrew didn't save my neck here, was I was going to go, you know, do this thing right here. You know, this guy is this times this plus that times that, right? And I can do that with little sums and little gain blocks, one by one gain blocks, right? So, but in this case, you know, basically what we're going to do here is, because Andrew is here, we can just go like this and just say, you know, this is going to be multiply phi... times, you know, x1 of k, x2 of k, right, plus gamma. Now we got to find u of k. Where do I get that from? this is, this guy is going to put out x of k plus 1. This is actually a matrix, a vector, you know, whole thing. And then that goes into a matrix, you know, this is the I think he calls it k, and this is the thing, k times that gives me the next u. So this is u of k plus 1 right there, right? And this gamma needs to multiply by u of k, right? So what I need to do is take this u of k plus 1 and run it through a delay block, z to the minus 1, and I need to put that in. This is the u of k input, okay? Does that make sense? So that u of k input is this thing right here. This x of these two guys right here go into this vector right here. And this is the output right here coming out like that. Multiplies by this matrix, you know, that's basically taking this guy, and those are those two blocks that we were looking at in our previous thing that wasn't quite right here. That's this thing. Oops, hit the right button. Anyway, well, you can... don't know why it's not working there. There we go. It's these two blocks and that is the matrix multiply with the K, right? Okay? That this is what we do to move our poles, you know, so that we'll get that response. Okay, so now that we kind of have an overall idea of what we're going to do, there are some little tasks we have to perform in order to get all these little numbers that we need to plug in here, right? So we've got to get phi, right? We've got to get gamma. We've got to get k, right? Does that make sense? And this was this thing right here was a d to a. I need to write that in here, d to a. Right? And I suppose we really need to think about or talk about these d to a and a to d. What are they actually doing? How do we model them mathematically? Because we got to do that in like Simulink, right? Yeah, that's what they are. They're what they're called is a zero order hold. These guys are a zero order hold. All of these a to d's and d to a's, okay? So... or at least, I don't know whether all of them are, I mean, A to D is certainly a zero order hold. And this guy coming out here, I think you may be able to just run that in there. I don't think we need a zero order hold there, right? This is just straight out. The D to A is just a wire. The A to D's are zero order holds. So these guys right here are ZOH. ZOH, zero order holds. Okay. So, I don't know how much automation you want to use on this example, okay? If we want to use all the automation, you know, we can, use the C2B, what is it, C2D, you know, and so on, which will do this. It will find the phi and the gamma for us, right? If you don't want to use all the automation, then we can actually find the phi because we know what it is. You know, it's e to the a cap t, right? You know. Do you guys all know how to find our matrix exponential? I mean, does that make sense? You did that back in LNA or somewhere? I mean, it's the inverse Laplace transform of SI minus A inverse, right? Do you remember that? You can also do it in MATLAB, you know, with matrix exponential.
Maybe if you did one of them.
Okay, let me just do a really quick thing so you can. This is a side here. Okay. There are a number of ways to compute the matrix exponential. Okay. So first, e to the a cap t. That's what we're doing. It could be defined just using the Taylor series. So that would be, what is the Taylor series for e to the x? It's 1 plus x plus x squared over 2 factorial. So this could be written as I plus a t plus a squared t squared over 2 factorial plus dot, 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 right? Okay, that's one way. That's a yucky way to do it, okay? I mean, it's not too bad if, you know, this A is kind of converging here. You know, you can get an approximation maybe that way. That's one way, okay? The second way is e to the A t is also equal to the inverse Laplace transform of S I minus A inverse evaluated at t equals cap t. Now, that should kind of make sense from you, because if you think about a 1 by 1, the inverse Laplace transform of 1 over s plus a, or s minus a, I'll make it, is equal to e to the a t. Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
So this guy is really a matrix thing, and you can do this. You know, you can. This is actually maybe an easier way than using the Taylor series. When you take the matrix SI minus A, you invert it. It's not a numerical computation because it's got that variable S in it, right? And you'll end up with, suppose A was a 2 by 2. You'll end up with a 2 by 2 matrix with 4 elements in there, and each one of those elements, you inverse transform each of those elements, and so then you end up with a 2 by 2 matrix with, you know, a bunch of e to the at, e to the something t's in those four elements, okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, and I think you've done that before. And then the third way, you know, this is kind of like 1, 2. The third way is to find a transformation matrix which will make A diagonal, okay? And the transformation matrix which does that, if you find the matrix of the eigenvectors, if V sub I are the eigenvectors of A with B sub I associated with lambda sub I eigenvalue. Then if they're assuming and they're distinct, maybe I should say, and the eigenvalues are distinct, are all different. That's what I mean by distinct. They're all different. Then you can say that this matrix right here, which will be lambda 1, lambda 2, dot, 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 lambda n, all zeros up here, all zeros down here. It's a diagonal matrix with the eigenvalues as the diagonals, is equal to t a t inverse, where T inverse is equal to this thing V1, V2, dot, 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 Vn, like that. Okay? So what you do is you find the eigenvalues and eigenvectors of A. Hopefully they're all distinct. If they're all distinct, then you can make this matrix out of the eigenvectors, do this transformation on the thing, and then you'll get this. And then to raise this to the exponential is really easy. Yeah, because e to the, if I call this gamma here, I'm going to call this matrix here gamma. Okay. Gamma is this matrix. E to the gamma t is just equal to e to the lambda 1t, e to the lambda 2t, because it's uncoupled, right? They're all zeros over here, and dot, dot, dot. E to the lambda n t. Okay? So then you can take that back. Okay? So those are the three major methods of finding e to the something t. Okay? So now that you kind of remember that, hopefully, that kind of everybody feel comfortable with that? I mean, it's a lot of work, right? I mean, yeah. Did you do this back in LNA?
We never did. I remember the transformation was slightly. The other two ones.
Oh. You must have done this in at least linear algebra, yeah. Or no, maybe not linear algebra, but I don't know.
Yeah,
definitely.
LNA definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't do this method. Yeah. Well, this is not an easy method for computing the thing, but it's sometimes a handy formula for deriving things and stuff. Yeah. So. Right, to find the eigenvalues. Remember the eigenvalue eigenvector equation, you know, which is basically it's you take lambda I minus A, and that equals the zero vector, right? Like that. Times V. V equals the zero vector, and V is the eigenvector, and lambda is the eigenvalue. And when you do this thing, you say, okay, look it, I'm going to. The only way that this guy can be zero is if that guy is not invertible, right? Okay. Otherwise, V would be zero, right? If V is zero, that's the trivial solution. We don't really want that. We want to find a V that's non-zero and makes this work. So that would mean this guy right here is non-invertible. So you take the determinant of lambda I minus A, and you say if it's non-invertible, that thing has to be zero, right? That means it's non-invertible. So you take that determinant, that gives you the characteristic equation, which gives you n eigenvalues, n lambdas, right? Those are lambda 1 through lambda n, right? And then you can take this equation and you plug back in each of those lambdas, like the lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda 3. And for each lambda, you will find a V that will make it work. And that V will not be unique. In other words, the V will be, you multiply it by 10, it will also still work. Because you can see in this equation, if I multiply V by 10, it would still work, right? But it gives you a ratio between those elements of V, so that, you know, V is got to be, you know, if the first one is a 1, then the rest of them, you know what they are, okay? So those are the eigenvectors, those are the eigenvalues, and you use those, you put those eigenvectors in this matrix, makes the T inverse matrix, you can transform this then, you know, and then you get to that, and then you can make the e to the at, and then you can untransform it to get back to the e to the, this is the e to the lambda t, you find that, and then you can untransform it to get it back to e to the at. In other words, take and solve this thing backwards for a. Once you take e to this t, that does e to that t, and then you can, you know, solve backwards. So, you know, that's the other method of doing it. And this gets more complicated when you have repeated roots or repeated eigenvalues, which, by the way, we have over here with this thing right here, right? Those are repeated poles right there at S equals zero, right? The eigenvalues are repeated. Okay. So that's just kind of an aside. So you could compute the phi, which is e to the a t, right? This thing right here. You could compute the phi. And once you have the phi, then you can compute the other thing, whatever it was, the gamma. It was basically just some algebra on that, right? I mean, I guess it was one higher than this. this one right here. This is gamma. This guy right here is gamma. So if you have that, you subtract the identity, you multiply by A inverse, you know, this is a bunch of work, right? Make sense? Okay. So now we've kind of made you understand the bunch of work would take us, you know, 2 or 3 days to do. Let's go to use the magic, okay? Is that all right? Okay. Okay, so I need to get out of full screen mode here. And I need to put my glasses on so I can see what I'm doing. Got a lot of stuff open here. Well, I'm just kind of going to, I don't know, I could start over. Okay, here's what I did previously on the session while I was playing with this problem. So I'll just show you what I did, and we don't have to type it in again, okay? So I said TF, S equals TF of S, right? And then I said H equals 1 over S squared. So now I have a system that's 1 over S squared. That's the original system, right? Okay? And we need that to figure out what the phi is, right? Because that original system goes with the A matrix, right? A, B, C, D. So now I got this. And then I did TF to SS. Here you go. Okay? This is transfer function to state space. This was the transfer function representation. Transfer function to state space of the system H. So it gave me the A matrix. I guess we need the B matrix too. Can we figure out the B matrix? What do we have? What is the B matrix here? It's like right here, isn't it? Isn't that the B matrix? It goes right there? And it must be 1, right? But 1 what? See, this right here, y double dot equals, this is normally a sum right here, right? Right. The reason it's only one of those signals is not that the A matrix has a 0 and a 0 here, right? Right? And so we can write the original system. Let's just write it so we understand it. We're going to say x1, x2, and this is dot, and this is dot, equals. Now, we got to check and see whether they're, you know, when they make their states, this is controllable canonical form, but it's lower controllable canonical form. That's what MATLAB or Octave gives you, right? So the question is, when I made my x1 and x2 here, did I do this lower or upper? Do you understand? I mean, it's going to be one of the two, but I don't remember which one it is, so we need to double check. And if it's the wrong one, I need to transform that to the right one, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, or I have to change my notation. I'll change all the stuff I wrote on the board so it matches that. One of the two, right? I don't care which, but one of the two. So here's what we say. This is MATLAB's way of doing it right now. And they said 0, 0, 1, 0. And this is x1, x2, right? Plus, we have something here, right? U. And one of these is a 0 and one of them is a 1, right? So if we look at, we can kind of figure out this one right here. It says x2 dot equals 1 x1 plus 0 x2, right? That's got to be right here. x2 dot, they're backwards from me. This is x1 dot, right? This equals x1 dot, right? If this is x1 going backwards to the integral, this is x1 dot, right? So x1 dot, in my case, equals x2. This one says x2 dot equals x1. So what does that mean? That means I'm backwards from them. Ugh, rats. Okay? So what do? Which way do you want to do? Flip my x1 and x2 over there? Everywhere? Okay, so we flip my x1 and x2. So I need to change this. This is an x1 here. And this is x2, right? Right, so this is x2. And who knows whether it's going to match my Simulink. Probably not. But that's okay. I can fix that too. So this is x1, right? x1, x1, x2, x2. X, that's fine. Everything else is okay, right? Okay, so we'll just go with MATLAB. So what does this say? Where does the U come in? The U comes in on this other one. This one right here is Y double dot, which is equal to X1 dot, right? X1 dot equals just U, right? So X1 dot equals 0x1, 0x2, plus 1u, plus, and the x2 dot equals 1x1 and no u. There's no u coming in right here, right? Right? So this is our A matrix right here. This is our B matrix. And, I mean, what I'm saying is, I'm saying my C matrix, I'm saying Y equals, well, I don't really care about Y. I'm just going to leave Y out. Y is labeled over there as X2, but I'm going to assume that I can get at X1 and X2. Those are really my outputs, right? In other words, I kind of got two labels for Y. Maybe I should have called this instead of Y, call it something else, but, you know, it's... I'm assuming I've got some other way of measuring X1 and X2, okay? So I kind of got, like, two outputs. One is Y, which is the output of this, you know, double integrator, right? But then I've also got another output that gives me the output of, Y dot, right? Okay? And I'm going to use that for my feedback. Okay, so now we did that. We have this guy. Maybe we should actually give that some kind of a name, like, that's state space. I guess we got to do that. But we also need to change this H into a discrete thing, right? Right? That would be giving me the phi, right? So, maybe I'll put what this came from. This came from we got this, what was it, TF2SS. H, okay, and H was equal to 1/s². So, right, that's what we're basically kind of trying to remind you where you got this. Okay, so now what we need to do is C2D of H, right? Okay, so let me, I don't know, I probably did that somewhere too. We'll just go down and do it. C2D of H, and then I have to put in the sampling time, which is 0.1, right? Is that the right syntax? We want the zero order hold, so we don't have to put in the other thing, right? Is that right? So what you're saying is it's backwards, right? C2D.
Oh, no, it was...
No, you had
CD2. Oh, I had CD2, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. C2D. No, D. No, what is it?
Octave.
It is.
Well, you don't have the Octave control package installed,
but... I did, I thought.
Oh, no, it's just, maybe it's the help having me.
Yeah. Maybe, okay. Well, let's try it. C2D, what is H, H,1, .1? Like that?
There you go.
Oh, it's in there. Oh, I probably have to go help put the control thing on there first or something. Okay, so now we have a transfer function, right? But that's not really what we want. We want the state space of that transfer function. Let's write that transfer function down, okay? So C2D gave us C2D of H.1 gave us, I'll call it H sub Z of Z equals 0.005 Z plus 0.005, and then I've got Z squared minus 2Z plus 1, okay? That's what it said. And then I need to convert this to SS. So I want, what is it? I've been using too many things here. Is it? SS, is it SS? How do I get the state space out of this thing? Let me call this HZ here. Okay, but how do I get the, I need the state space out of that, so how do I give state space? Yeah, TF to SS?
I would think so.
Yeah, to SS, and then HZ, and then comma 0.1, or is that right? Let's just do HZ and see what happens, huh? Okay, now we've got to look at this thing. And then I'm assuming this 10 to the minus 16 should be a 0. Minus 1, 1, 2. So I'm going to say, so this is going to be phi. So TF to SS of HZ gave us phi equals 0, 1, minus 1, 2. Is that right? Okay, good. So now we got that. Now we have to get the gamma, right? And so the gamma equaled A inverse, right? A inverse times E to the A T minus I, right, times B, right? And this E to the A T is really T, right? Right? So, what was A? Did I have A? I guess I got A. I need to go A equals, what was it, T? TF to SS of H, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I have A inverse. What time is it? Am I losing out? Oh, shoot, I'm out of time. Oh, I mean H dot A, right? H dot A?
No.
No?
A dot A.
A dot A?
At least that's how it works in that line.
No, it didn't work. I should have done this. I guess I need phi. PHI. I guess we'll have to continue this on next day here. So this is 0, 1, semicolon, what's the next one? Minus 1? Minus 1, minus 2.
No, positive
2. Oh, positive 2. Okay. So I'll just do this. A. What did I do? A inverse minus 1 times P, what was it? PHI minus EYE of 2, right? Right?
Yeah.
Times B. What is B?
B is just
1, 0. So I want 1, semicolon, 0, right? 0. Oh, no. Oh, A is certainly singular. Well, we'll have to think about that problem. Right?
Yeah.
A is singular, right? I don't know. What did you do then? I'll have to think about that. Problems now. Yeah. And, you know, if you could start figuring up, you know, some little demo or something for Simulink, you know, what we'd like to know is all those little gotchas, like, you know, the end or whatever, you know, like the gain block, you know, or I don't know where you get all that. I mean, I've kind of looked online looking at the psycho stuff, and the documentation is, there's a lot of it there, but
there's a big long list, and it takes a lot to explore it all.
Right, yeah. that's probably what the problem is. You're having your issues like me, right? Working on homework?
This is close to what they're supposed to get, but it's possible in order of magnitude.
What do you mean by an order of magnitude?
Like, everything should be over here. And this phase, it's the phase.
Okay, this is frequency in radians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Per second.
Yes.
And you're looking. Are you looking at the solutions manual and seeing that it's not looking the same?
Mm-hmm.
This is frequency in hertz. So if you multiply that by 2 pi, it should be this. So let's check and see.
So
is that the only problem, maybe?
Maybe. So which time multiply by 2 pi?
Well, let's just take those two graphs and do it in our, or you can multiply. This thing comes down at, let's see, that's 10 to the 1.
Where's the peak, actually?
Yeah, okay, well,
peaks at about 20 pi, so 60. Not 60. But I also, my phase angle doesn't look
good. Well, your phase is going down to minus 560, so why don't you just do it between 0 and 90 and let this thing
come off. I fooled around that because you're only supposed to fly from 0.1, so 10 to minus 1 to 2.
thing is where it's coming down about, you know, about minus whatever, minus 90 at about right here. So this would be 2, 3, 4, about 40 whatever radians per second. So take 40 divided by 2 pi divided by 6, it'd be about 7. So this guy should be about 7, and it looks about right.
Could I change this?
Oh, you just wanted... No, that's fine. What you got is fine.
Well, could I change this into...
You could change it into frequency, but if you read the problem, it says the quantum rate is 0 or something, right? So you actually did the right thing, and you did the wrong thing. So you're okay. I think your answer is right. Everything's good. It's just a matter of units. Well, we're already kind of started because we need to work on that.
Yeah.
The first thing is come up with a model.
Pendulum.
For that's the first project. And so we'll do the, come up with a model. And, once we have this example in class, the pendulum will be somewhat similar to that, although we're going to have to do an observer as well. So there's a little bit more work we need to do. Guess is it will probably be, it'll take us the next couple weeks at least before we're at the place where we're actually maybe even start some next week. But
is that our project?
That'll be the first big project, and then there's a couple little ones I'd like to do, lighting controller with Ralph, motor. But I talked to Carlton, and his recommendation was the pendulum was the best project. And we should do that right away.
Okay.
Because it's possible that it may be harder than we thought. Spend more time on it to make it work. But I think I'd like to make that work because that would be good for demos too for all the incoming freshmen and concerned. Well, here's Alex's program. It runs the pendulum, balances both of them. We finally figured it out, and now we can show this.
I'm really not sure how to attack the problem.
Of the model. Well, first thing I would do is I would go search online
for the motion.
I would search for inverted pendulum, equations of motion.
Okay.
And there are on the wiki. If you look on FWeb, there are on the feedback page for FWeb, there are some links there that have the somebody who did the thing for one. Okay. And if you can do it for one, it's not too hard to extend for two.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically do the same thing again for the second one. And so that's what you need to do. And then the last, the harder thing is, you need to add in the spring thing and the motor.
Yeah.
But I think, the spring thing is not that hard to add in, and the motor is, you'll find an example online with the motor probably already. So, if you have problems with that, come by and I'll be glad to.
I wish I could. Because, just this quarter, I go from 9 to 5.
No time.
Except on Thursdays. But then Thursdays, usually busy doing
everything else.
Optimization.
Yeah. But, you could stop by at 5. Of course, you're probably pretty hungry by then.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Or, So, don't hesitate to grab me. You can send me an email in the evenings if not here too.
Okay.
Or we can talk on the phone, or I can.
Okay.
And I'm usually here. A bit after 5, pretty much. Every day too. So. But give it a shot. I'd say go online, look and understand what they did, and there's some very good tutorials out there for the inverted pendulum. Look and see what they did, and then once you've understood what